Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Lori Moore, and today I am very excited and very honored to interview a good friend and one of my most important mentors, Jacqueline Aldana, who I met, I think, 12 years ago now. And it's a perfect day to be talking to you, Jacqueline, because we just had the staff meeting, and a big portion of the staff meeting was modeled on what you taught me. And a lot of my business has actually succeeded over the years very beautifully because of what you taught me.
Well, thank you, Lori. I feel very honored. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here in my beautiful home where I live with my beautiful soulmate who I met shortly after I met you. At the time, I was in a relationship that really wasn't serving my greater purpose, and I utilized what you taught me and found my soulmate. So basically, you have everything in my life handled.
Well, I have to say, Dr. Lori, you were the one that whenever you called and asked for advice, I think of all the people I've worked with in the last 15 years, you're the only one that would put it into practice almost before we hung up the phone. And then you would come back and report on it. I always marvel.
Well, I'm glad that you like that.
You're a good role model for me, I'll tell you.
Well, you were very generous with your time and always answered my questions until I really, really understood the practice and was able to make it my way of life in all areas. So thank you. And today, a wonderful staff mate who's been here for just a short time but fits in so beautifully. Her name is Shoma, and she's also a professor over at San Jose State, a social work professor, and she's from India originally, and I'm just loving having her here as a sister and friend, and she will be asking the questions, and she's excited and eager to learn what you have to say. She'll be asking us both questions, and we'll share our two different viewpoints, which will just give so much to all our listeners.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, Shoma, you can go ahead and begin.
Okay. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi, Shoma. Thank you so much for being here today and to grace us with your beautiful manner and asking questions in ways that bring to light things that might benefit many more people.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So, and I really appreciate Lori allowing me to do this and with you and her. And so I my heartfelt thanks for that. So do you mind if I begin?
Go for it, please.
Okay. So if you can tell us a little bit, and if you want to share in your own words, what is a miracle in each of your understanding? And either Dr. Lori, you can go first, or Jacqueline, you can go first. However, whatever
the moderator is comfortable. So
whatever, whoever is most comfortable to begin.
Well, I'll jump in and just say that really sitting here, breathing, being alive. I'm outside. I'm listening to the birds. I'm watching my cat. I'm looking at some plants. Just the fact, just the mystery that the universe could create this thing called life where we get to feel and see and hear and create and love one another is miraculous to me. So I've really come to feel over the years that everything is a miracle, everything that exists, everything that happens, all the love that holds it.
I think that's beautifully put, Lori. And even Albert Einstein, I know you've heard this quote before, says there are two ways by which one can live life. And it's as though nothing were a miracle or everything is a miracle. Would you agree?
I love that, and I'm so glad you say that, because a lot of what, Jacqueline, you really helped me to understand was that each moment I can approach what's happening as a collaborator with the divine, with the universe, with God. And in that point of view, yes, every single minute, every second is a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Everything is. You know, in the biblical sense, of course, miracles are considered to be acts of God, like walking on water, spontaneously healing the sick and raising the dead and so on. But more commonly, I think the word miracle is associated with most any beneficial occurrence that is statistically maybe unlikely, and that maybe defies logical explanation, like escaping something undesirable against all odds, or being at the receiving end of something fortuitous, you know, such as winning the lottery, finding your perfect soulmate, or conceiving a child after years of being barren, things that happened against all odds that defy logical explanation. But I like your definition, Lori, is that everything is a miracle. Every breath we take, you know, every morning we wake up and there's sunlight, you know, it's all a miracle. Don't you agree?
I agree completely. I'm recognizing the words you are using as what is traditionally defined as a miracle, because I had recently looked up in the dictionary out of curiosity and, you know, looked into the etymology of miracle. And what you say is so true, that everything is a miracle. And when we look closely at the definitions that you so astutely brought up, such as that which defies all odds has traditionally been seen as a miracle, if we look closely, everything defies all odds, because it's so mysterious and amazing that plants grow and we breathe.
How can we explain that?
So you can go ahead, Shoma, and ask us some more questions.
Okay. And some of these questions is, you know, I mean, I looked it over. Dr. Lori had written them out, but, you know, she had given me the opportunity to, if I wanted to change it, but I don't see anything that I want to change, so I will go ahead with the questions that are on here. So if anyone would like to, any one of you would like to respond to why would you think that people seek miracles?
Well, I think when people cannot find ways to meet their needs or achieve their goals by ordinary means, they long to find supernatural ways to manifest their heart's desires, and they're seeking answers and solutions beyond their own awareness, which means they have to, you know, go beyond their understanding because they've run out of ideas on their own, so to speak. What do you think, Lori?
I think that's absolutely accurate, in that people come to you, Jacqueline, to find out about your books or attend your workshops because they have reached a place of some kind of despair and nothing has worked sometimes, and they're looking for answers. I'll ask you to tell your story about how you created the 15-Minute Miracle in a little bit, but I'd just like to share personally why I came to you. A woman called up for a counseling session, came into my office. Before she left, she said, "Oh, I think I came here to tell you about Jacqueline Aldana." And I thought, well, that's odd. I don't know her, and she doesn't know anything about me. Why would she come to tell me about Jacqueline Aldana? I don't know who Jacqueline Aldana is. But I said, well, maybe, really? Well, who is that? And she told me about you, and she said that I should call you. And I said, well, are you sure she'd want to hear from some stranger? And she said, yeah, I think you need to call her, and she'll want to be hearing from you. So the universe has given me enough of these kind of tips, I guess. They happen frequently enough that I just have come to trust them. So I gave you a call, and you told me about the 15-Minute Miracle, and you told me you were holding a weekend workshop, and it turned out the workshop was coming up, I think, in just 2 or 3 days, and I know that people are coming from all over the country and, you know, maybe the world to your workshops back then, but it turned out you lived 20 minutes away.
Isn't that amazing?
So I signed up for the workshop and wasn't exactly sure what to expect, but once I got there, it was very clear that you had come to understand a way of focusing that would allow me to artistically create the life I so desired. And at that time, which is very different than now, I was in a lot of pain because of the really a relationship I was in that really was, as I said before, not serving me or that person at all. And I was trying to fix it. And I also had some beautiful visions and goals I wanted to bring to the planet, but really no idea of how I would do that. It just felt like a constant struggle, and I wasn't really getting close to creating what I wished to create. And so there was a pain in my heart, and I came to the workshop, and the most important thing I learned was to start focusing myself on intention in any problem that I thought I was having, although I think nowadays I don't tend to think I have problems too much. I think there's a lot of learning opportunities. But back then, at the learning phase I was in then, what I learned was all this training I had as a therapist where I would focus people on their problems, I was doing that with myself, and really that was causing us, in a way, to create more problems. And so I learned from you to focus on precisely what it was that I wished to create. And within just a few years, it was, you know, this beautiful business had been born, books were out, I was going on the national talk shows, wonderful people were coming to me, I was in love with Ray. Everything just fell into place. There was a lot of surrender. It wasn't this struggle. Once I really understood what you were trying to convey.
You understood to surrender and let go, in the God, so to speak. And once you got out of your own way, Lori, things were coming to you so fast, it was like trying to get a drink of water out of a fire hydrant. You had so many miracles coming in. But it was, again, I think, just realizing that really taking all of the power of your intention and putting it on what you prefer to experience rather than trying to get rid of or push away that which you didn't want seemed to bring about much better results, more easily, more quickly, more miraculously, more consistently.
Yes. Could you tell those who are listening who don't know the story about how you really were given the 15-minute miracle, what happened in your life that led you to discover it?
Well, you know, today, Lori, I think you can attest to the fact that I really truly am the happiest person I know, regardless of prevailing circumstances. However, you know, it wasn't always that way. In 1991, my dearest friend in the world and husband, Ron, was diagnosed with a virulent cancer and was told that he had but 3 months to live. And so, you know, that took us on quite a journey all over the country, out of the country, and we found a way to keep him from, quote-unquote, not dying for 3 years, but that's just kind of like survival mode, you know, where you're just grateful to see that your mate is breathing each day. And but as you can imagine, it was very stressful and tiring. And as a result, our 20-year storybook marriage took a nosedive during that period of time, and that was kind of scary. And then not being able to work in our, we were self-employed, not being able to work for a period of 3 years, we were teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. And so in all the major areas of our lives, you know, our relationship, our prosperity, and our health were all being greatly challenged all at the same time. And I don't know about you, but when you get to that point, like that surrender you talked about, it's like I just kind of threw up my hands, looked up to the heavens, and kind of irreverently, I might add, just said, you either show me a way to experience some degree of joy in my life, or just, you know, come take me now. In other words, show me a way or haul me away. I didn't care which. And honestly, I was kind of hoping for the hauling, to be honest with you. I was so tired and discouraged. But, you know, obviously wasn't hauled away, was I? But that day was the day I was inspired through a series of situations to scribble something down on a piece of paper. And, Lori, then it happened. 12 hours later, that marriage on the rocks became a marriage made in heaven, and better every day since. 2 days later, we began to, in our business, in our respective businesses, began to generate more money than we had seen in probably 20 years. And 90 days later, when my husband Ron went back to the same doctors who said he had 3 months to live, they couldn't find a trace of cancer anywhere in his body. So that was the beginning of the awareness of miracles are definitely possible, because what else, how else could you explain all of those things? You know, and then when other people heard about it, you know, they'd come to the door, they'd fax, email, or a phone call, whatever, saying, what in the world did you people do? So I shared with them what I did, and then they would call back within a few days, a month, a week, or whatever, and most would always start out the same way, and it would be something like, Jacqueline, you're not going to believe what happened to me since I started doing that little journaling process. At that time, it didn't have a name. And so we began to realize that it wasn't just something that benefited us, but rather it benefited most anyone who just merely and playfully experimented with it. And so as a result, to be able to you know, allow more people to learn about it and utilize it, the books were written, and the rest is history. It's now been 15 years, and we've never done any marketing, and I think we've sold close to 60,000 books, just word of mouth. We just feel so blessed that it is reaching, you know, so far reaching in the world, because the more people that are blessed and benefit from it, the more they want to give back and to share, you see? And so it just perpetuates itself.
Yes, and having known you really a good portion of those 15 years, what I did really love about you is that something inside your soul was completely determined to be of service to others and to the universe. You know, sometimes with these two, with things like this can sound too good to be true to some people at first. And so
sure.
I just want to say, and often then they're followed by come, you know, by this whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I never, that's not who Jacqueline is. I've seen Jacqueline give her whole heart and soul to the betterment of humanity very selflessly. I don't think she could stop herself from doing that. I know that your greatest wish once you experienced this was that anyone who could benefit would find out. And you just made it so simple for people to do that by sharing the steps, by creating the book. A real act of love, and I really appreciate your sweet heart for how you are in that way.
Well, thank you, Laurie. I just end right back at you. You've certainly been a wonderful role model for me as well, and I just feel so honored to call you colleague and friend.
Thank you. Soma, you can ask some more questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing both Laurie and Jacqueline. And I think you sort of were teetering on the verge of the next question, and you answered a little bit of it. But Laurie, if you would like to add beyond what you have said already, what is the most important thing that you have learned from Jacqueline?
Well, there is something else I haven't brought up yet, which has to do with positiveness and vibration. Because in all honesty, I must admit, I noticed over the years in myself that I was kind of in a pattern of I could get very positive and then I could get very negative. And Jacqueline was really a role model for me because her vibration, I could feel that her vibration centralized, landed in a place of positiveness. And I could feel with myself, my center, my vortex would shift back and forth. So I wasn't quite sure how I would eventually end up like Jacqueline, but I was quite determined to do that. And so being around her many times, feeling the way she did that, and seeing the benefit of that created a determination in me to become like her. So eventually now I feel I pretty much am there. And that's just a priceless gift. I'll have this entire life and I'll take with me beyond. And it so affects everyone who comes to meet me in any way. So I am very thankful for that.
Well, thank you, Laurie. And I tell you, the greatest gift that I've received from you is witnessing firsthand how you maximize whatever wisdom you receive from whatever source, and you put it into practice immediately. And, you know, while others are dreaming and planning, you know, Dr. Laurie has already mastered it, and, you know, and she's learned ways that bless and benefit all with whom she comes in contact. She is so loving and so giving and has become so trusting of life in ways that she really is in that miracle zone, you know. And the miracle zone is where miracles happen, dreams come true, prayers are answered, and good luck finds you, you know. I think Dr. Laurie won the good luck lottery here. She just is always in that flow. She's a top achiever in whatever she endeavors to accomplish, and she's so eager to be of service to anyone who's a good match for what she has to offer, and she continually attracts people who are a perfect match for her through the intentions that she creates. She's very clear, and she not only believes in miracles, her whole entire life is a series of miracles, like one right after the other. You know, she's like living proof of living truth of what's possible for all of us, you know. And I think that that's the greatest gift she brings to me, and to everyone with whom she comes in contact. She is the example. She is the change she wants to see in the world. And, you know, what greater gift can you be, you know, to anybody? And so I thank you, Lori, for just being so dedicated.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank
you. Oh, you're welcome, sweetie.
Thank you both. I'm learning tremendously from both of you, so thank you for this time, too. The next question I had is that both the 15-Minute Miracle and Dr. Lori Moore's satsangs are devoted to a global peace perspective, but teach the individual to act personally in day-to-day ways. Could you, each of you, share more about how this is done and why this is done?
Well, the 15-Minute Miracle is pretty much just, it's a proven-to-work system that makes it easy for most anyone to transform wishful thinking into concrete realities in record time. And it is like if you were going on a road trip to a place you'd never been before, wouldn't you agree that if you had access to MapQuest, you know, you had a road map with driving directions, wouldn't that be easier for you to find and get to your destination, wouldn't you think?
Right, yeah.
And so it's like that. It provides a little a road map that shows you the shortcuts and the scenic route that have proven to work wonders for anyone who follows the map, you know. So it's like a template or a recipe for a more delicious life. It's something that's repeatable and that can be passed on and utilized by most anybody. And, for instance, well, just let me give you a quick idea of what I mean. Like Stephanie Coffin was nearly wheelchair-bound in 1994 when she first began faithfully doing her 15-Minute Miracle twice a day. 3 weeks later, and ever since, that's been 16 years, she's not had one symptom of MS.
Wow.
She was medically diagnosed with MS, has not one symptom. She went on to get her master's degree, and she's been doing what she loves and loving what she does for the past 16 years. And another example is after struggling to make ends meet and on the verge of losing their home, Sheila and Arnold Estep became multimillionaires 48 hours, 2 days after attending their first play shop. And it was just through a series of amazing, miraculous coincidences that all of that came about. And then one of my dearest friends, she came to me as a client 9 years ago, but after spending like 30 years and over $100,000 searching for ways to improve the quality of her life, Sherry Carroll became a magnet for love, money, and miracles. Within 6 months, she fell in love. She got married. She bought a beautiful home. And she's been acknowledged as a top achiever in her industry out of 16,000 contenders. And that was 9 years ago. And she's still the happiest person she knows, again, regardless of prevailing circumstances. And so it is a system that is simple. It's simple enough for a 9-year-old to be able to utilize and benefit from. It's very consistent. It doesn't take very long. And it's a life conditioner, kind of like, you know how we use a hair conditioner to make our hair shinier and easier to manage, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a life conditioner that when we do this for, like, it's just 1% of your day. That's what 15 minutes really is. And it helps us to stay in that frame of mind that does indeed make us that magnet for miracles in every area of our life. But we keep hearing about all of the things that are possible, and we hear about the law of attraction, and we hear about the secret. But the thing is until it's made easy enough for people to actually apply the wisdom, people often won't take the time to fiddle with it very long if they don't get immediate results. And so this has been made available in a way that it's pretty much a no-brainer miracle attraction process, because there are in the Miracle Manifestation Manual alone, there's like 777 examples. You can even copy them word for word, and they work. And so it makes it easy. It's like a paint-by-numbers, connect-the-dot system, if you will, by which to condition your thoughts and your attention in ways that not only bless and benefit you, but in turn bless and benefit all with whom you come in contact.
Yes, I remember Sherry going through these changes as soon as she met you. It was wonderful to behold. I remember that. And this is such a good description of the 15-minute miracle. You have created something, channeled in something that anyone can utilize, any kind of person, any person of any background, or people have different types of intelligence. Any type of intelligence can use this. It makes it really simple. And it, like you said, at work, it's effective. I've shared it with many of my clients, and they've all prospered from it. I think that the slot songs we offer here have something in common, which is I also looked for what would be most simple. And I had applied Jacqueline's principles also to my spiritual life to come into much deeper states of universal, unconditional love and oneness. And I had prayed to return to heaven on earth and started to find myself living in the ways of heaven on earth. And I wanted to share with people how simple it is to live in a moment-to-moment basis of love and peace, because if we would like to see world love and world peace, it must start at home, as Jacqueline had said earlier in the conversation, as Gandhi had said. So I found people started to come here from a lot of different spiritual paths and different religious paths, and some people from no spiritual religious path. But I hear time and time again that they find something simple here and often blossom and awaken into what they were wishing for, hoping for, trying to accomplish in more complex ways. Suddenly it's readily available to them, because the way I intend for it to be shared here is so very simple and universal.
And it is. It's just absolutely beautiful. And Lori's depth of spirituality that she puts into her work is second to none, I can tell you, from my experience as well. And I thank you, Lori, for sharing that on a global basis the way you have.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Again, you've been one of my role models for yet another thing I now must bring up, which is really, how do we take the inner and the outer? How do we take the spiritual and the practical and make them into one? Well, as it turns out, they are one. We don't really have to do that ourselves. But you showed me how to get back to that place. You showed me how to get back to the place where what I'm creating actively in the world with all aspects of living, service, relating, teaching, relationship, my relationship to my health and my body, my relationship to my neighborhood and community, all aspects really can be the container, the temple, the church. That doesn't have to only take place on Sundays or Fridays or whatever. The mosque, whatever you call it, is now. It's here. And it's all how we're behaving, how we're being is the container for the goodness that we seek. So thank you, Jacqueline.
Well, thank you. And Lori, another thing I wanted to bring to light that I really appreciate about you is, I remember someone giving me the book, The Power of Now, by Eckhart Tolle or Tolle. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. And for whatever reason, I found it, I find it difficult to read large volumes of information sometimes, and I found it difficult to get through the book, although I knew it was a very good book. And so I got it in the audio form, and for some reason I just wasn't able to get through it, so I just had to ask my inner guidance, what in the world is this about? I know that being in the now is, obviously a very good thing, and this has been, accepted as one of the books of the century and on and on. And so that little inner voice said, Jacqueline, it's not about being in the now. I'm going, it's not. I was so amazed. I said, what do you mean? He says, it's about being in the now in joy. Mm. Now we're talking a deal. I could relate to that because, and this is just what you said, you're teaching people to be fully present in the moment in joy and in love.
Yes, yes. My cat.
It's very different,
yes,
than just
it is.
Being here, because frankly, some moments are better than others. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. The circumstances of some moments are preferable. The circumstances of some are not. I've had times when my body's very well. I've had times when my body's sick. I've had times when money has been abundant. I've had times when I couldn't pay the bills. So this is the planet of polarities at times. And being in the unconditional joy, love, and peace, my cat, Jesse, just enjoy, and joy is in his name. It was a great teacher for that, because he decided he would be in joy no matter what. And eventually I caught on to that.
Yeah, he was a good teacher, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's so true, you know, that it is more about being fully present in the joy, in the moment, in joy. And, in you know, there, do you know this distinction, Lori, between happiness and joy?
Well, what would that be?
Well, you know, it's wonderful to be happy, and I certainly am, but happiness often is contingent upon circumstances. People are happy when circumstances line up to meet their needs or their desires. Being joyful is a state of mind. It's a state of being, regardless of prevailing circumstances. It's a distinction. Both are good.
Yes.
But, you know, my goal has always been to be in that state of sustainable joy. And that's not, you know, does not require the circumstances to necessarily in every moment to line up the way I think they should, but rather gives me an opportunity to find the blessing and the benefit in it. 15 years ago, I made a steadfast intention, went something like this. I choose to find consistent ways by which to readily recognize the beauty, the benefit, the opportunity, and the gift and everything that I experience to enjoy whatever I'm doing, whenever I'm doing it, and to readily recognize the magnificence in everyone I meet. Serves me very well, because I do indeed see the magnificence in everyone. Can't wait to share it with them. And then they can't wait to demonstrate it as they hear it or as they feel it from someone else. And as I don't feel challenged anymore, but, you know, when I was first learning this new way of perceiving, when I did feel a little bit challenged, I got excited because I realized that the greater the challenge, the greater the gift. And I was like that little lady for the Wendy's hamburger commercial. Remember, she'd say, "Where's the beef?" Remember her? Whenever I felt challenged, I was just like her. I'm going, "Hey, where's the gift? Where's the gift?" And, you know, Lori, I would see it sooner than later. And instead of, you know, you've heard that expression, instead of waiting for the storms to pass, I was out dancing in the rain.
Yes,
I have been ever since, and so have you.
Yes, yes. Joy, as you say, is a state, and I have seen you choose to notice that it is available every minute in all circumstances, and then all circumstances do become opportunities, whether they're aligned with what we thought would happen or not. That becomes secondary. And what's so beautiful about the 15-minute miracle is, although they become secondary, we have a tool to collaborate, to co-artist our participation with life so that we can create many preferable experiences. They happen to come so much more easily through grace when we are neutral and when we can be in a state of joy regardless of whether they come or not. And that's another teaching in the 15-minute miracle, in the practice of the steps.
Well, thank you, Lori. I so appreciate you have a way of articulating things that I wish I could write fast enough to take notes here.
You know what I'm noticing? This conversation we're having has something similar to what happens in our staff meetings, that a lot of appreciation is expressed.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's something in common about both your work and mine, that we really value gratitude. And gratitude is just like one of the key elements. Just like when you make a cake, flour, it is the key element. And that just brings out everybody's best. What a wonderful way for us to all be with one another. In appreciation.
It's the cornerstone of everything that we do. And we find that as we make that our cornerstone, everything else works, you see.
Yes.
And it brings out the highest nature of each person as we express appreciation towards someone.
Yes.
All they want to do is demonstrate how right you are about your wonderful perception of their magnificence.
What a good point. And I think what I'm experiencing is that it also brings out an awareness that really we have different personalities, we have different characters, but really not different. I mean, none of us. We're really the same heart. There's just one heart. There's one physical species. It just has a lot of different faces and one mental, there's one mental apparatus on the planet. It just has a lot of different beings using it and using different words for it.
I agree.
If I may add something, as you were talking, I was just thinking about, you know, things that I've read, maybe in the Gita, I cannot remember, but it is about, we think that there is, because we don't look up and see the one sun, and we're looking at the reflection, we see many suns. We see the sun on the flowers. We see the sun on trees. We see the sun in the pond. And we see the sun on the hills. And we think those are all different suns, but there is only one.
That's a very good analogy, Soma. Thank you.
Yes,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I just, you know, I didn't mean to cut.
Oh, no, your input was greatly desired and needed. I'm sure I'm benefiting, Jacqueline's benefiting, and everyone who's going to hear this tape all over the world will be benefiting. So thank you. That was beautiful, beautiful contribution. Thank you.
Thank you. So in terms of, I know you both are very delighted and pleased and absolutely joyful in the way the 15-minute miracle and the satsangs actually turn out and how they have actually really helped in increasing the sense of that we all are the same and that, you know, every minute is every second, every now is a miracle. But wanted to ask you if you could tell us about the ways that you've been thankful, more specifically, to see each other's world prosper from your teaching. Like, how do you see the world prospering from your teaching?
Well, I'd like to just share really specific examples of people who have come to the satsangs and experienced miracles that I feel were very influenced by my using the 15-minute miracle work as a basis. There's been hundreds of them, so I'll just pick a few as they come to mind. I'm remembering a woman who stood up and said she would be leaving the satsang early because she had this terrible back problem, and her back went out, and she would probably be going home and be in bed for about 6 weeks. And I said, could you stay with us for just a few minutes at least? And she stayed, and a few minutes later, she said, my back's completely better. This has never happened before.
Oh, my gosh. Don't you love it when things like that happen, Lori?
Yes. I've witnessed things that I was taught probably don't happen much. I've witnessed people come to the satsangs and really gone quickly into a birth, into understanding the unconditional love. And that's my greatest dream. And then I get calls of how they're bringing it to their family and they're bringing it into their work. And those are calls I love a lot, of people telling me, I was so stuck and I didn't like this job, or my husband and wife and I or children couldn't stop. And they go back from after coming to a satsang and it all changes. Everything changes around them. I remember Kristen, there's a little YouTube footage of her. She was my intern, and I was so happy when she came to the satsang and she shared about this struggle she was having with her little boy. I think he was only about two at the time, and it was running her life, and she was miserable because of it. And she said, ordinarily, to be honest, she wouldn't even want to go home, you know, just because she was going to have to deal with this. But she's changed. She changed herself in that satsang. And she said she could not be more excited to go home and see her little boy because she changed and she knew he would change. And she got home and she opened the door, and usually he would fight, he would scream, he would cry. And she opened the door and he ran to her and said, Mama, Mama, I love you. And when I think of that, I get teary because it's that simple. World peace starts at home, and it's that simple. That's all I can say.
I agree, Lori. We get a lot of stories like that too, you know. And I think that you hit it right on the head, is that when you give people an understanding of how to work in harmony with the universal laws that pretty much govern the way they experience life, and you show them ways to communicate and to perceive or to create intentions, to create clarity, all of those things, and focus on what is working, and that's the gratitude part, while also clarifying what one prefers to experience. And we're all at choice as to what we give our attention to, what goes through our mind, and what comes out of our mouth. And I kiddingly say, I said, you know, the answer to everything you want to know is right under your nose. And they go, what's that? And I said, your mouth. Because what comes out of there has a great deal to do with how you experience life and how you interact with other people. And just what you said, Laura, exactly, is that as each person changes in that direction, it affects everyone around them in a very positive way, you see. And so that's why, and I love Dr. Wayne Dyer's quote. He says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. But who changed first?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes,
and
yes.
That's
Amen.
The thing that
yes.
you give to people that gives them and empowers them with the tools and the understanding they need to make those sorts of changes. And once they taste how delicious that is, they come back for second helpings, don't they?
Yes, yes, yes. And they come back and learn how to be cooks. Yes.
Yes, indeed. And so then, you know, and so what you're offering is this wonderful recipe for just a more delicious life. And people are very much enjoying every aspect of that. And you serve it with the main ingredient being love and gratitude.
Yes, and you do too. Are there more questions you'd like to ask, Soma?
Yeah, there are a couple more. I want to be aware of the time because we had said, Jacqueline, about 40 minutes. Do
mm-hmm.
you still have a few minutes?
I do.
Okay, wonderful. Lori, you have a
few? Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. And both of you have, there are a lot of lessons to learn from all the work that you're doing, but is there anything specific that something that you think is crucial that you'd like to share about your work?
I'd like to share that if someone has a dream, an intention, if you have a strong feeling you're on this planet for a purpose, to spread the generosity, to experience the care, it might be more tangible to create an arena in which people from different cultures come and experience each other in peace, or to make a beautiful art project that will inspire many, or to write a musical play that will reach many in a good way. Whatever it is, it's different for everyone. There's millions of them out there. There's one for every person. That it can happen. It's meant to happen. The grace is there for it to happen. The ease, the support, everything that is needed is there for it to happen. And so please trust yourself, regardless of anything that has happened up until now. Please trust that if you just set that intention, ask the universe for help, be willing, as Jacqueline teaches us, to release anything that's in the way, whether you know what that is or not. It can happen either as you imagined or in a way that's even greater for the highest good, as Jacqueline always says, the highest good of all life everywhere.
That's beautifully put, Lori. And, you know, my greatest wish for the planet, for the world, really, is that that the power of love and the spirit of what I call the spirit of shalom prevail in every corner of the earth. And I know that in the Hebrew culture, shalom is traditionally used as a greeting, you know, both hello or farewell, and it means peace. But upon looking into it and understanding the deeper meaning of it, it covers everything. So the spirit of shalom, it means nothing broken, nothing missing. It relates to radiant health, abundant prosperity, loving relationships, completeness, wholeness, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, perfection. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And in the spirit of shalom, everything works together for the good of all. And so that is my greatest wish, I think, for the world, for planet Earth, and for each individual to be able to find that which that allows them to experience that, you know?
Thank you. I, too, truly know, I know with all my being, that this creation, the world, has the potential and capacity to beat in rhythm with everything it was designed for, starting with how the sun works, and that in that all can work together for the greatest harmony and good for everyone. And that spirit, that beautiful spirit of which you speak, I believe in different cultures might have different names. I love Shalom, having been born Jewish and carrying that lineage. I also love the word Wa As-Salam from Islam, and I love the word Aloha from Hawaii, and yes. I love the way the Mayans and the Hindus and the Christians and the Gypsies and on and on and on and on. There's a word for this depth of all that is peace working everywhere we go. There's a word for this. It was named in so many places because it's the truth. It's the truth of what is at the core of everything, no matter how many distractions or errors have been created. It could be pulled back in a heartbeat. And we know this is true because of the experiments of Dr. Emoto, who proved that simply by telling the water, I love you, thank you, that even if the water that you're speaking to is miles and miles and miles, thousands of miles away from where you are, the water immediately responds. And every human being and every being, every animal being, is actually made primarily of water. So if this message starts to be sent out to every being and every being becomes receptive, I have no doubt that heaven on earth, because I feel it here, I know it's in your house, Jacqueline, I know it's in our house, I know it's at your seminars. I know it's at our satsangs. And it could be all over for everyone. And for now, whoever chooses that, it is available. We're a big web all together.
Indeed. And I could not, I have nothing more to add to something so articulate as that.
Yes, actually, I also have come to the end of the questions because you all answered. You know, one of the questions I had is that does it work for everyone? And, you know, it does, because at the core, we're all humans. At the core, we're all beings. And so one of the things that I thought I would add, the word in Hindu is namaste. And that actually does just say that I bow to the divine in you.
Thank you, Soma. That's that beautiful word.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Lori, it would be fun to make a collection of all of these words that we've just talked about.
Yeah.
You?
Yes, let's do that. Yes.
Yes. Yes, that would be the artwork that you guys have been talking about.
And, Jacqueline, I'd like to give everybody your website so they can go find out about your book and your workbooks and your manual and everything, and it's the 15minutemiracle.com. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the number 15.
So you
and
don't spell 15, you 15. Go ahead, you say the whole thing.
It's just www.15, that's 15minutemiracle.com.
Perfect, perfect. So thank you, Jacqueline, for this beautiful talk. This is Dr. Lori Moore from AnnaMiracles.com. That's A-N-I-Miracles.com. And once again, Jacqueline Aldana is at the 15minutemiracle.com. You don't spell out 15, you just use the numbers. And I'm sure people will be going to learn more, and we'll be meeting many of the people who are listening today to this interview. Thank you so much, Soma, for assisting us, and peace to all beings everywhere.
Thank you.
Thank you. Namaste.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye.